Geneva. City of sunlight and bright reflections. Of billowing white sails on the lake. Sturdy, irregular buildings above, their rippling images on the water below. Of myriad flowers surrounding blue-green pools of fountains, duets of exploding colors. Of small, quaint bridges arching over the glassy surfaces of man-made ponds to tiny man-made islands, sanctuaries for lovers and friends and quiet negotiators. Reflections. Geneva, the old and the new. City of high medieval walls and glistening tinted glass, of sacred cathedrals and less holy institutions, of sidewalk cafes and lakeside concerts, of miniature piers and gaily painted boats that chug around the vast shoreline, the guides extolling the virtues and the estimated value of the lakefront estates that surely belong to another time. Geneva, city of purpose, dedicated to the necessity of dedication. Frivolity tolerated only when intrinsic to the agenda or the deal. Laughter is measured, controlled. Glances conveying approval of sufficiency or admonishing excess. The canton by the lake knows its soul. Its beauty coexists with industry. The balance not only accepted, but jealously guarded. Geneva, city also of the unexpected. Of predictability and conflict with sudden unwanted revelation, the violence of the mind struck by bolts of personal lightning. Cracks of thunder follow. The skies grow dark and the rains come, a deluge, pounding the angry waters taken by surprise, distorting vision, crashing down in the giant spray. Geneva's trademark on the lake, the jet d'eau, that geyser designed by man to dazzle man. When sudden revelations come, the gigantic fountain dies. All the fountains die. And without the sunlight, the flowers wither. The bright reflections are gone, and the mind is frozen. Geneva, city of inconstancy. Joel Converse, attorney at law, walked out of the Hotel Richemont into the blinding morning sunlight on the Jardin Brunswick. Squinting, he turned left, shifting his attaché case to his right hand, conscious of the value of its contents but thinking primarily about the man he was to meet for coffee and croissant at Le Chat Botté, a sidewalk café across from the waterfront. Re-meet was more accurate, thought Converse, if the man had not confused him with someone else. A. Preston Halliday was Joel's American adversary in the current negotiations, the finalizing of last-minute details for a Swiss-American merger that had brought both men to Geneva. Although the remaining work was minimal, formalities really, research having established that the agreements were in accord with the laws of both countries and acceptable to the International Court in The Hague, Halliday was an odd choice. He had not been part of the American legal team fielded by the Swiss to keep tabs on Joel's firm. That in itself would not have excluded him. Fresh observation was frequently an asset, but to elevate him to the position of point, or chief spokesman, was, to say the least, unorthodox. It was also unsettling. Halliday's reputation, what little Converse knew of it, was as a troubleshooter, a legal mechanic from San Francisco who could spot a loose wire, rip it out, and short an engine. Negotiations covering months and costing hundreds of thousands had been aborted by his presence. That much Converse recalled about A. Preston Halliday. But that was all he recalled. Yet Halliday said they knew each other. "It's Press Halliday," the voice had announced over the hotel phone. "I'm pointing for Rosen in the Comtech Burn merger." "What happened?" Joel had asked, a muted electric razor in his left hand, his mind trying to locate the name. It had come to him by the time Halliday replied. "The poor bastard had a stroke, so his partners called me in." The lawyer had paused. "You must have been mean, counselor." "We rarely argued, counselor." "Christ, I'm sorry. I like Aaron. How is he?" "He'll make it. They've got him in bed and on a dozen versions of chicken soup. He told me to tell you he's going to check your finals for invisible ink." which means you're going to check because I don't have any and neither did Aaron. This marriage is based on pure greed, and if you've studied the papers, you know that as well as I do. The larceny of investment write-offs, agreed Halliday, combined with a large chunk of a technological market, no invisible ink. But since I'm the new boy on the block, I've got a couple of questions. Let's have breakfast. I was about to order room service. It's a nice morning. Why not get some air? I met the president, so let's split the distance. Do you know the Chapoté? American coffee and croissant. Quai de Mont Blanc? You know it. How about 20 minutes? Make it a half hour, okay? Sure. Halliday had paused again. It'll be good to see you again, Joel.